Welcome to Gemara Markings. Eish Shiur is Ksubas Daf Kuf. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formative introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 15 lines from the top of Daf Kuf. Omar Rav Huna Bar Hanina, Omar Rav Nachman, Halacha Kedivrei Chachomim. Here, Rav Nachman is paskening like the Chachomim that we have seen in the Mishnah, that a court evaluation, where the court evaluates the value of property, and they make a mistake to the tune of one sixth error from the actual value of the property, the sale that they conduct will be botel, will be void. The lashon that we saw was that dayonim, the judges, shetol b'shtus, that make a mistake of a sixth, their sale, the court appointed or the court conducted sale, will be void. That was Rav Nachman's ruling. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Birur Shitas Rav Nachman, Im Yesh Lach Shosh, Lemakoyach Bezin Yofe. What is Rav Nachman's approach in terms of ruling? Do we take into consideration the image that will be created in the event that we reverse court sales? According to the ruling we just saw in the Gemara, where Rav Nachman rules like the Chachomim, that we will reverse court sales, what does that do? What does that show as far as court authority? It shows that the court authority is somewhat limited, and we will reverse their sales, regardless of the public image that might create, namely the limitation to the authority of Beis Din. How else can we phrase that? People will say, how strong is Beis Din anyway? How strong is the court anyway? A type of attitude that will develop. So by ruling like the Chachomim, it's more important for us to focus on the fact that there is an error than the image that will create in the eyes of the public. But when we say the image, meaning by voiding their sale, what that will create in the eyes of the public. This brings the Gemara to the question, another question, last three lines. V'les le Rav Nachman makoyach bez din yofe. Does Rav Nachman not subscribe to that alternative approach, the approach of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that says that if we reverse court decisions, people will come to the conclusion that the strength of the court isn't so great? V'omar Rav Nachman amar Shmuel yisoyimim shebo lachloik b'nichse avihem. Orphans, heirs that come to distribute the estate of their father. And you're dealing with fields that their father left and will be distributed amongst the children. Beis Din appoints an executor, and the executor chooses a good portion for each one. When they become older, they can protest. Now, up till now, this was Rav Nachman quoting Shmuel. For Rav Nachman Didei, and here we emphasize the marking. You see, we dashed underlined Rav Nachman Didei because we want to focus on his own shita. Rav Nachman himself says, Rav Nachman Didei, Omar, Ein Yecholim Limchois, that when they become adult, they cannot protest the executor's method of property distribution. Din Kain Ma Koyach Bez Din Yofe. Because if they can protest what he did, and he was appointed by the court, so people will conclude, What authority? What you see that the court doesn't have great authority. If we can, if they can protest a decision made by the court appointed executor, so then what's the big deal about the court's authority? You see that it's limited. Lo kashya. No, we don't have to raise this as a question. Ha de tol, ha de lo tol. The michron botel that we mentioned before, that Rav Nachman ruled like the Chachomim, indicating that he's not so concerned with the image that will be created by our voiding their sales, because that's a case where they made a mistake. In the ruling of Rav Nachman here by the executor distribution, division of properties that they cannot protest, that's the low toll. There was no mistake made. When there's no mistake, and it's just a question of your questioning the authority of Beis Din and attempting to have it reversed, no, it can't be reversed, because that would impinge, that would mitigate the extent of the court authority in the eyes of the public. The Gemara asks, if the issue concerning the court distribution of the court executor's distribution of properties, we saw Rav Nachman quoting Shmuel in that very same case, indicating that they are able to protest. Well, if there's no mistake, what are they protesting about? Answer, beruchos. They may protest regarding locations, namely, you have let's say a couple of heirs, and they had their own previously owned properties of outside of the inheritance. One of the two sons already had a property from beforehand, and the court executor gave him property from the inheritance that wasn't adjacent to his pre-owned property, to the property that he owned beforehand on his own. So he might protest, it's more beneficial for me that I should receive the father's field that was next to mine. Why did you give me a field that was far away? That's beruchos. So there wasn't a mistake in terms of value division, but in terms of location. So the ruling of Shmuel is that they can protest, and Rav Nachman himself says that even regarding ruchos, as long as there was no actual, say, value mistake, there can be no protesting, because we are concerned with the makoyach bezin yofik consideration. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice some markings. We have some double underlines and triangles. What do these mean for us? So on the side of the Gemara, under the Mivneh heading, you'll see that we're introducing here Shtei Girsois, two versions, B'maisa, regarding a particular incident, Im Rebbe, that involves Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, B'inyan Psikoso Kechachomim, regarding a ruling of his that went like the Chachamim, Shalo Choshash L'Koyach Beis Din, where he doesn't seem to be concerned with that image creation of court authority limitation. Ki also, we go to the Gemara text, Ki also Rav Dimi, you'll see, is in contrast with Rav Safra's version a little later. But by the way, before we go on in the Gemara, let me point out ahead of time, we're going to first read Rav Dimi's version, and he's Roman numeral number 1, as you can see on the side. Right before Rav Safra double underline, you'll see the Gemara uses the phrase, it says, Rav Dimi Masni Hochi. That means that up till that point was Rav Dimi's version, which begins here. And then Rav Safra will follow. So the first version, when Rav Dimi came, he said, Maise v'asu Rebbe k'divrei Chachamim. There was an incident where the courts had made the court made an evaluation that was errant by a sixth, and Rebbe canceled the sale that the court conducted. Omar Lefanov, Proto Benoi Shel Rebbe Lozer Ben Proto Ben Beno Shel Rebbe Proto HaGodol. A lot of names, a couple generations of names here, but we'll just say Proto is a name. Proto said to Rebbe, Im Cain, if you're going to rule like that, Ma Koyach Bezin Yofeh, What about the court authority in the eyes of the public? So upon hearing that, the Hichsi Rebbe es Hamaisa. And Rebbe reversed the incident, and he established the sale, even though there was this mistake of a sixth, and that's all because he was choshish for the koyach of Beis Din. Rav Dimi Masni Hachi. That was Rav Dimi's version of the story. Rav Safra Masni Hachi. And now you see a second triangle, a second version of the incident. Maise Ubikesh Rebbe Lasos Kedivrei Chachamim. Note, we dashed underline key words here and before. Here you see, Rebbe thought to rule like the Chachamim. Before, in the first version, Rebbe actually ruled like the Chachamim. Here, Rebbe thought to rule like the Chachamim. Ubikesh, that's Bikesh Rebbe Lasos Kedivrei Chachamim. Omar Lafon of the same name, Proto Benoish Reb Lozer Ben Proto Ben Benoish Reb Proto Hagadol. Im Cain, if you're going to carry out your thinking, Ma Koyach Bezdin Yofet. So what's going to be with the image of the court authority in the eyes of the public? Lo Osa Rebbe Es Hamaisa. So Rebbe didn't act on what he was thinking, and because of the concern of Koyach Bezdin, preserving the Koyach Bezdin, Rebbe did not act the way he thought to go. Lema Beho Komifligi. Shall we say that the following is the point of controversy? Mor savar ta'a bidvar mishnah chozer, u'mor savar eino chozer. Where did we see a reversal? We saw a reversal in version number one, in Roman numeral number one. We saw the Hichsir Rebbe. He actually reversed. What does the term Dvar Mishnah mean? So, Dvar Mishnah, generally speaking, is a reference to a rule that is, let's say, a firm rule, an accepted rule that's established that you see in the Mishnayos. But we know from the Gemara elsewhere that the concept of Tov Dvar Mishnah extends even to well-known rulings in Amoroyim as well. So, that having been said, here we have a shita, an opinion, that of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that we saw in our Mishnah, that appears in the context of this discussion to be a very well-accepted idea, namely that you have to be choshish for koyach Beis Din. So, shita Rav Shimon ben Gamliel becomes this Dvar Mishnah. If one rules, unlike the Dvar Mishnah, does a ruling like that have to be reversed? Or, we'll say, can it be reversed? So, in the first version, that's Rav Dimi's version, he says that even though it's a Dvar Mishnah, or I should say, because the mistake was a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah, because of such we'll say, a mistake concerning an issue of such great importance, or a ruling of great significance, you've got to reverse your ruling. And the Rav Safra version presents it in such a way that it didn't come to that. Because had Rebbe actually ruled like the Chachamim, and then it was pointed out that that was a mistake, it doesn't get reversed. That even though it's a tois bidvar mishnah, it doesn't get reversed. So is that the machlokas? Namely, according to Rav Dimi, a mistake concerning a matter of a dvar mishnah must be reversed because of it's such a significant error. And the second shita says no. The Gemara says lo. That's not the analysis of the machlokas or the difference between these two versions. Rather, dekulei alma ta bidvar mishnah chozer. Everyone will agree that a mistake in a Dvar Mishnah is to be reversed. Namely, even Rav Safra would agree that had Rebbe ruled, we'll say, incorrectly, had he ruled like the Chachamim, and the mistake was brought to the fore, he would have reversed his decision. Well, so what's the difference between these two versions? Umar Sovar Hochi Havei Maise, Umar Sovar Hochi Havei Maise. Each one was presenting What they had been told was the incident, simply the facts of the case. In the first case, Rebbe actually did rule like the Chachamim, and he had to reverse it because it was a Tois B'dvar Mishnah. And Rav Safra had the story as Rebbe fought to rule like the Chachamim, but he didn't. And we're just adding that had he ruled like the Chachamim, he would have had to reverse his decision. Omar Rav Safra, Rabbi Yosef. Omar Rav Yosef, Amarto Dizvino Achraya Sayasmi, who based in Dizavin Achraya Sayasmi. This is a halacha that we've seen in the past. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Mechiras Nechosim Avur Ho'almona, the sale of properties left in an estate for the benefit of the widow. The widow has rights to be provided with from the estate, and she sells the properties are sold for her benefit. Al Yadei Amona Atzma, where she conducts the sale of the properties. Al Yadei based in, or the court conducts the sale. Achrayas Al Hayesoimim. If the purchaser ends up losing the field because some previous creditor had a claim, had a lien on the field, the purchasers in this case go to the orphans, go to the estate for compensation. In Nimsa Hasadeh Gzula or Mishubedis, if it turns out that the field that they bought was a stolen field or it was a field that had a previous lien on it. So Rav Yosef tells us that an almona that sells, the achrayas, the guarantee, the compensation, is incumbent upon the yesomim to make. And likewise, if the court conducts a sale, the achrayas is upon the yesomim, upon the orphans, or the heirs, to pay back. Gemara says, pshita. Is that not obvious? The Gemara says, almona lo itzderichale. That's clear, that if the almona sells properties from the estate for her maintenance, and it turns out that it was stolen property, so the yesoimim, their obligation to see to it that she gets cared for, and therefore they have to make good on the sale. We should look at Rashi, by the way, six, seven lines from the end of the Rashi commentary, Achrayuso Ayasmi, Im Nimtzei Sasode Gezula O Mishubedes Li Acher V'Torfo Min Alokeach B'Chovo. If it turns out that the field is stolen or a lien was upon that field and the creditor came to take from the purchaser, Chozer Alokeach Al Yesoimim, the purchaser has as recourse going to the Yesoimim, Shalmona Shliach Yesoimim Hoysa, the Almona was in effect the agent of the Yesoimim. So the Gemara says, do I really need Rav Yosef's teaching? So the Gemara answers that as far as Almona is concerned, I don't really need that. It's, as the Gemara says, it's obvious. Kitzrichle Beidina. I need Rav Yosef's teaching for what he said concerning the Beisdin. Mahu Detema. Without Rav Yosef's teaching, which puts the burden of compensation on the Yesoimim, I would have thought. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Kol Dezoven Mi Beidina. Anyone who buys from the court, Adaito Lemeipat LeKolahu Dezoven. He's doing so in order for it to become public knowledge. Lemeipat literally is to go out a large sound, a large voice, which means making something public knowledge. Rashi at the top called the zoven mi beidina adaita denofik lekola zoven lefi shehein moichin b'hachroza. The court, when they conduct the sale, they do so through public auction, through an announcement. Ubatua halokeach, and the purchaser is so confident, she'ilu hoyu aleo asikin hoyu yoitzin ma'arin. Had there been any protestations anyone challenging, any court challengers, they would have let their voice been heard. Hilkoch, shelo b'achrayus hu lokeach. Therefore, he's buying with such confidence that he foregoes a demand for a guarantee. So it's a purchase, and this is what I would have thought without Rav Yosef, that one who purchases properties through a court sale, he is purchasing with the knowledge that he's not receiving a guarantee. There's no need for a guarantee in his mind. Komash Malon, Rav Yosef informs us that with all of that, his purchase is one with a guarantee. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel loimer v'chulei. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that even if there's a mistake of a sixth, the sale cannot be reversed. The court sale cannot be reversed because of ma koyach bezin yofeh. The Gemara asks, v'yad kama? How far does that go? The court makes a mistake. We don't reverse the sale. How far do we go with that? Omar Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Omar Rav Sheshes ad palga, until a mistake of 50%. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a brisa that supports this. Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel, based in Shemachru Shove Mosayim Bemona, O Shove Mona Bemosayim, Michron Kayam. If the court sold something that's worth 200 for 100, so the sale was at a 50%, we'll say discount, but in this case really means a mistake of 50% from the original price. The sale is maintained. So we see that up to a 50% error, the sale is maintained. Omar Meimar Mishmeidu Rav Yosef, based in Shemochru Shaloi Bahachroza. Actually, on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, which reads like this: based in Shemochru Bliachroza, the court that conducts a sale without a public announcement preceding the sale, Lefi Ameimar Havi Kito Bidvar Mishnah V'Chozer. According to Amemar, that's a serious error. That's tantamount to it is a mistake in a Mishnah teaching, in an accepted Mishnah teaching. And as a result of that, like we saw before, that everyone agrees that Tal Bidvar Mishnah is Chozer, the Gemara. So Amemar says, in the name of Rav Yosef, that based in it's sold without a hachroza, without the public announcement, Naasu kemi shito bidvar mishnah v'choizrim. It's like, the expression naasu kemi indicates it's like a mistake in a dvar mishnah. The Gemara asks with a tone of wonderment. We should point out, by the way, by Rashi, a detail that's important when we discuss Tal Bidvar Mishnah. Rashi on the third line from the top says, "Uchayzin v'ein oimrin," and we don't say "Masha asa asui," that the deal sticks, "V'yishalim mibeso," and compensation must be made out of pocket. Elohadri zvini, rather the whole sale is reversed. So the Gemara. The Gemara now asks, regarding Amemar's comment that a court sale without a public announcement is as if it's a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah, what do you mean it's as if? Naasu vadai to. It's a definite mistake, Bidvar Mishnah. Disnan, the source says, Shum hayisayimim shloshim yom, shum hayikdashishim yom, umachrizin baboker uberev. A shum is worth shuma. Shuma is an assessment. An assessment indicating a public sale. An assessment is made. Then a public sale is made. And this, we'll say, the announcements concerning the upcoming sale, shuma yisoyimim for sale of orphan properties, of estate properties, that's shloshim yom. It's over a period of 30 days. And Shuma Hektish, this is a case where the Beis HaMikdash has properties. People sanctify things, dedicate things to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash wants to sell off properties that were dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash there is interested in cash for its running expenses. So they'll sell off properties that were dedicated to them. People donate or dedicated pledged properties to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gizbar, the court, that is the Beis HaMikdash treasurer, the Gizbar, who sells the properties, announces the sale over a period of 60 days. Umachrizin baboker berev, and every day that the announcement is made, it's made twice daily, in the morning and the evening. So what do we see from here? We see that the idea of having a hachraza is in fact a core, is a Devar Mishnah. Here you have a Mishnah from Maseches Erechin, which indicates that it must be made. It must be announced. So what did the Ameimar mean when he said that a court sale without a hachrozah is as if it's a mistake in a Devar Mishnah? It is a Devar Mishnah. The Gemara says, Imeahi, had I had this source from Maseches Erechin that we saw just now in the frame, Hava Amino Hanimili Shaliach, I would have thought that is true when an agent errs, i.e. sells without a hachroza. Namely, that the source was dealing with a sale done by an agent. Aval Beis Din lo. But when it comes to the court, if they were to conduct a sale without having the prior announcement, that's not the topic of the source. And therefore, it wouldn't be an actual Devar Mishnah. Komash Malon, so Ameimar tells us that even in the case of the court, if they make a mistake and sell without a prior public announcement, public auction, that is like this. It's like the case featured in the Mishnah. And as a result of that, Tal B'Devar Mishnah is Chozer. Eisvei, Ravashi Lameimar. Notice on the side we have a Mivne, a structural note. We have triangles appearing in alternating directions. The point facing up, we call this a ma'akav. Ma'akav is to keep track of the give and take style of the Gemara, with the point facing up, it's kushya ala meimar, and the inverted triangle, a response. So, Eisvei Rav Ashi la meimar. We're quoting from what we call the Reisha, the first part of a Tanaic source. Later we want to make reference to the Seifa. So it says here, Shum HaDeyonim, Shepichas Rishtus Ohusi Rishtus, Michron Botel. This we saw that in the Reisha of the Mishnah, that says the court that makes an error of a sixth, either undervalues or overvalues by a sixth, and based on that they conduct their sale, Michron Botel, the sale is cancelled. Ha shaveh b'shaveh michron kayom. However, if it was a sale at market value, the sale sticks. My lav delo achruz. Is it not so that the court sale will stick even without a prior announcement? And hence a kasha on Ameimar. Ameimar was insistent on the court selling only if it's preceded with a public announcement. Lo, this is not a challenge. Bida achruz. The source is talking about a case that it had been subjected to the public offerings. The Gemara asks, Ha mi de seifa bida achruz havi, reisha bida lo achruz. From the fact that the seifa, the continuation of the source, deals with public announcement, the Reisha, the first part, was not dealing with that. And again, we were medayik, we inferred from the Reisha that had it been a shava b'shava and a market value sale, the sale would have lasted even without a hachrosa. So that would we be maintaining the problem we asked on Ameimar. What does it say in the Seifa, the Katoni Seifa? Im osu igeres bikores. Igeres bikores, for our purposes, means a public offering. Afilu mochru shove mone v'mosayim or shove mosayim b'mone, even if the sale was with a major discrepancy, something worth 100, they paid 200, or something worth 200, they paid 100, michron kayim, the sale stands. So we see from this that the resha, from which we inferred that if there was a sale at market value, the sale lasts, it's binding, that was talking about a case where there was no hachraza. Ela li'olam b'delo achrus. That's right, there was in the resha, there was no public offering, it was a sale without prior announcements, yet the sale sticks, v'lo kashi, and still there's no kasha on Amemar. Amemar said that without the public announcement, the sale would be botel. No problem. But before we go further, you note that we have triangles, that we have diamonds with numberings that go along with them, and words with double underlines. We look at the side. These diamonds represent Shuvos, Liyashiv Amemar, that said without the Achrozah botel, with the Mishnah that said that without the Achrozah, it's Kayim. And you can see the word kan is double underlined, mosai shayech din ameimar, mosai ha-mishnah. When does the din of ameimar hold, and when does the din of the Tanaic source hold? So the Gemara answers, v'lo kashya, kan bidvorim shemachrizim aleihem, kan bidvorim she'ein machrizim aleihem. A Meimar that was insistent on the Hachroza, and without it, the Mechir would be Botel, that's things that we make Hachroza over. Items, however, that we don't Machriz over, so there's no need for the Hachroza, and that's what the Tanaic source was dealing with. We didn't explain what those things are. If you skip the bracketed section that you see now, that brings you to answer number two. V'boy esema, kan v'shal shem machrizim, kan v'shal shem machrizim. But before we get to the answer number two, we're curious. What do you mean by things that you have to machriz over and things that you don't? So the Gemara says in the bracketed section, by the way, if you are interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. It says here in the bracketed section, V'elu hein dvorim she'ein machrizim aleihem. The following are items when sold, are sold, we'll say, in quiet. Ha'avodim v'metatlin v'ashtoras. Three things, slaves, portable items, and shtarsen, bills of collection. Avodim, taimo mai, why are avodim sales kept quiet, in other words, without a public announcement over it? Shemo yishmu v'yivruchu, we're afraid that if the slave gets wind of it, that he's going to be sold, he's going to hear and he'll run away. So we want to keep it quiet. Portables, metatalin ushtaros, portables and bills of collection. Shtoros, let me just give you an example of a person, let us say, has an outstanding debt to collect. $100 debt to collect from someone. For whatever reason, it's a pain in the neck for him to collect it. He'd rather sell the shtar at less than face value and have ready cash and let someone else collect the full amount. That's the case of the sale of a shtar. So these are kept quiet because if they were to be announced ahead of time, people would be, let's say, offering bids for buying the fellow's washing machine or the fellow's bills of collection. The public comes in, they walk, they look, they inspect the items, and that is just, and you're inviting trouble. You might have amongst the public that comes in thieves that will know the whereabouts of the things, and it'll come to be stolen. So we want to keep it quiet without the public, without making the sale public. Rashi points this out, and you'll see on the upper part of the narrow lines, Shem yignivu kashe nesofim liroisom kedei leloko, when people gather together to see them, in order to buy them, there might be thieves amongst the public. We continue. V-Boy Esema, another resolution between a Maymar who was insistent on the announcement of court sales, and if not, it's off, versus the Taneig source where it was not necessary. Kan b'shol shemachrizen, kan b'shol shemachrizen. The Amri Nahardoi, l'kargul mezoinu l'kvura mezavninon below achrazosa. This is also something we've seen in the past. In Nahardoi, they taught, Nahardoi is the name of a place, it was a great Talmudic academy there, they taught that for the sales of three things, we don't make a public announcement. In other words, not the item being sold, but the purpose. Why is the item being sold? So if it's sold for karga, for paying a head tax, or paying for mizonas, for food purposes, for the maintenance, we'll say, of the, we saw sale of properties for the almona to get food to live on, or someone needs to be buried, so we're selling for burial expenses. There's no time. These things need to be made, need to be paid immediately. So there's no time for court announcements, for public announcements of sales. So for things like that, that's what the Taneig source was speaking about. That they were selling for these purposes, for karga, for mazoni, or for kvura. The din of Amemar, though, deals with all other, with sales for other purposes, other than those extremely pressing matters. And for those other purposes, so a public announcement has to be made before the sale. And again, we're talking about, even if it's a court-based sale. Number three, V'boy Yaseimo, kan b'mokim shemachrizin, kan b'mokim shein machrizin. The Amemar's ruling versus the Tanaic source depends on where you are. In a place that it was customary to machriz, so then the achroza is binding. If you're in a place that they don't make public announcements, so that's what the Taneig source was dealing with. The Omer of Nachman, Me'olam lo'asu igeres bikoros b'Nahardo. And you notice the expression igeres bikoros, we had that earlier. That's the public announcement. Public announcements were never made preceding sales done in Nahardo. Sovor mino mishum debiki b'shuma. The thinking was that why didn't they have public announcements, public auctions in Nahardah? Because in Nahardah they were all expert in the value, so that the value that you would get for it is a fair price. Omar le Rav Yosef ben Yumi, Ziv Rishlaminei to Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef says it was explained to me by Rav Nachman, Mishum de Korulu b'nei achli nichsi d'achrizosa. The reason in Nahardah that they didn't have public announcements wasn't a reflection on their expertise in market values, but rather it was a function of, let's say, sensitivity to people's feelings, or sensitivity to people's reputation. And what do we mean by that? People who buy sales, court auctioned sales, people who buy from that, if it becomes known, people will refer to them as b'nei achli nichsi d'achrizosa. What does that mean for us? So if we look in Rashi, mishum d'korolo v'chulei, g'nai v'cherpi lehem, it's embarrassing, it's an indignation for them, k'shekainim nechosim shebeisin mochrin, for people to buy things that are sold off by the courts, l'fi shemach mazdoichak, if we skip, because of dochak, just skipping the brackets we have in the Rashi, because of dochak, because of pressing circumstances, loichim halakuchos bezoil umevazin oisan v'kornim oichli sodas hachroza. Let's go over the Rashi again with the brackets. Shemachmas dochak shehanoishe loichetsa seyasomim. Someone is trying to collect a debt from the orphans, from the estate, or es haloive, or someone is pressing a debtor to pay off his debts, and so the court moves in to sell off their properties, and people, because of the pressure involved, so people are going to offer less than the value, knowing that the seller is really hard pressed for the cash. They're going to buy cheap, and then the public is going to be looking at those that purchased, as being, I don't know what the term is, you want to call them scalpers, or you want to call them people that take advantage of the weak, or take advantage of those in their time of need. And that's not a nice thing that's not a nice reputation to have. One who buys things from people that are selling out of their own pressure. It might be a little reminiscent of things that you have sometimes, tax sales, where people defaulted on their taxes and now you're able to buy properties for real cheap. It's a similar idea, if not exactly the same. You're buying things that people were selling only because they had no choice in the matter. So being known as someone who buys that kind of property, it creates a poor reputation for the buyer. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, and we glance at the side. We have a topic heading: Im lahamtin b'mechiras chetze hayesemim ad yom hashuk. When selling off the properties of the orphans of the estate, do we have to wait specifically for market day, when buyers are around, when you'll get a good price for it, or do we not wait? Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, metaplin sheyesemim shomen oison umochin oison la'alter. When selling the portables of the orphans, they're to be assessed and sold immediately, meaning just after their father dies, they're to be sold off. Rav Chista, Omar Avimi, moichin oison l'shvokim, and this second opinion says that we don't sell immediately after the father dies. We didn't mention, but Rashi says that if you wait, they might go bad. Shelo yirakvu, they'll rot. So we're talking about, it seems from this from Rashi, that we're talking about those kind of portables that have a rather short shelf life. So Rav Chista says that we wait for the market day. For lo pligi, there's no controversy. You heard the mikrav shuka, heard the merchak shuka. If market day is soon after the father's death, so then we wait. Nothing. There's not going to be any loss if it's a long time till market day arrives. So then we assess and sell immediately. We have a new marking on the side. It's featured under the mivneh heading, Havei Biyode. Shnei Maisim b'mechiras chefzei. So Havei Biyode means they had in their possession. We have two stories involving the sale of property of the Yesoimim. And we speak about property, we really mean something portable, something with that's subject to depreciation. Rav Kahana Havei Biyode Shichra de Rav Misharshia Bar Chukoi Yasmo. Rav Kahana had in his possession, he was asked to watch, we'll say, he had Shichra is beer of this party, of Rav Misharshia Bar Chukoi Yasmo. For our purposes, he had in his possession beer owned by or belonging to Yesoimim. Shaye ad rigla, he waited till the holiday for its sale. Omar, and he explained. Now, the waiting until the holiday is an indication that he waited a while. In other words, it wasn't the sale of this immediately as immediately upon the death of the original owner. So he waited till the holiday and had to explain himself. And he and said, Omar, afal gavde nofal be itzatzta, even though the taste of the beer is going to go a little bit off, meaning it's close to ruination. It's close, not actually gone sour, but it's close to it. Maisi zuzi zuzo harifa. Rashi says zuzo harifa memahir lovo lefisha kol tzrichim lekach umavien mois ve'ein mekifin lahen bashroi. The holiday time, there's a large public interest in buying this. People will offer cold cash, and it will and not need to be sold on credit. So he made a consideration. He made a he weighed his options and said, rather wait, take the risk of it going bad. But better to do that and get ready cash than sell it now, but need to be sold on credit. Ravina have biyadei chamra. Ravina had in his possession wine, the Ravina Zuti Yasma Bar Achtei, of Ravina Zuti, who was a Yosom, who also happened to be the son of his sister. So Ravina had his nephew's wine in his possession, and his nephew happened to be an orphan. Havaludide Nami Chamra. Ravina had his own wine as well. Havakomasik Le Lisichra. He was going to take his own wine to Sichra, name of a place, for sale. He had whatever reason he had for going there to sell his wine, he was planning to go there. Also the Kame de Rav Ashi. Ravina comes to Rav Ashi, Omar Lehi, and he asks Rav Ashi, Maulam Tuye Bahadon. How about my taking the orphan's wine with me to Sichra? Or maybe I have to worry about, maybe it'll be the boat will sink and it'll be a loss for the orphan. Amalei Zil, you can go. Lo Odif Mididach. It's not treated any more than you treat your own. So if you're willing to take a risk regarding your own wine, it's within reason to take the Yosom's wine as well. Now we have a Mishnah that has a great amount of detail to it. A lot of different examples and cases and items in it. Dealing with different kinds of women, whether or not they're entitled to various entitlements. Hamemaenis Hashnio Va'ailanis. Mamenis is a girl that was married off rabbinically. As a minor, and up till age 12, she can walk out of the marriage, and without even needing a divorce, she's considered as if she was never married. A shnia is a rabbinically prohibited marriage. It's called shnia l'arayas. We've seen extensive discussions about that in other places, especially Maseches Yevamos. But it's a rabbinically prohibited marriage. Ba'ailinus is a woman that's incapable of procreation. Generally speaking, people would not want to marry an Ailinus. Well, Ein lahen ksuba veloperos. They don't have a ksuba. A mema'enes, for example, she walks out on her own. Ksuba is paid to a woman that was forced out of the marriage either through the death of her husband or by being divorced, but where she takes the initiative of walking out, so she doesn't get a ksuba. She doesn't get the ksuba payment, the financial guarantee that a man provides for his wife in the event that something happens to her, but where she walks out, so she doesn't get that. She doesn't get peros. And oh, by the way, we also said the shnia, she doesn't get a ksuba. That's a knas de Rabbanan. The Rabbanan imposed this, what's called a knas, often translated as a fine, that she's fined with the loss of a ksuba. She doesn't receive the ksuba. And Rashi gets into more detail information that we were zeichet to learn in Maseches Yevamos. And an eilinus, that's because it's a mistaken marriage. A man thought that he's marrying a woman that's capable of procreation, and it turns out that she's not. He never would have married her. So it's a mekachtos. It's a mistaken marriage, so there's no ksuba. What else is there not? There's no peros. We'll take a look at Rashi for appreciating what that means. For lo peros, Rashi has two pshatim. Number one, first pshat is din peros, the laws of peros. Peros literally means fruit produced from property that a woman brings into the marriage. A husband has the rights to the fruit of property she brings into the marriage, and he has those rights in exchange for the fact that he will redeem her from captivity if she's taken as a captive. So Rashi says she doesn't have peros means she doesn't have the the din peros. What is the din, the law of peros? V'u pirkona, shetik necham, tachas peros, nirse malug, shehu ochel. Means the law of her being redeemed, her husband being obligated to redeem her in exchange for the fruits that he benefits from property she brought into the marriage. So that din peros, ain law. She doesn't have that in nishbeis. If she's taken into captivity, eino chayav lufdosa. He does not have to redeem her. The tanai ksuba, because conditions that are built into the ksuba, the ksuba is the basic amount of cash that she gets upon being divorced. Tanai ksuba are other clauses, other deals, other conditions that she is entitled to. Other entitlements. Well, she doesn't, just like she doesn't get the basic ksuba, she doesn't get the ksuba entitlements either. The cave on the ain law ksuba, ain law tanai ksuba. And since she doesn't get the basic ksuba, she doesn't get these additional entitlements either. Rashi gives another pshat, but for our purposes, that is sufficient for now. We continue in the Mishnah. It said she doesn't get velo mizonos. She doesn't. She has no food maintenance that she can expect from her husband. Velo blos. Blos are worn out clothing. In other words, if she brought into the marriage clothing, men's suits, then those men's suits were evaluated, were assessed. And when we speak about things being assessed, it means they're assessed and it's written into the ksuba. And the man wears those suits. So if when these women are separated from their husbands, they do not get the worn out suits, the worn out clothing. Im mitchila nasa l'shem eilinus yesh lo ksuba. If a man knew ahead of time that she was an eilinus, so then the description of it being a mekachtos doesn't apply. Mekachtos means a mistaken marriage. But if he knew ahead of time that was her situation, it's not a mistake. So then it's a full-fledged wife regarding these matters, and she gets a ksuba. Now the Mishnah goes on with a list of forbidden marriages. These are prohibited basically on a Torah level. There are other dinim derabbanan that are mixed in. But for example, almana l'kohen gadol, a kohen gadol who married an almana, and that's a widow. Kohen gadol is not allowed to do that. Nevertheless, we're going to say that at the end of this list, at the end of the Mishnah, she gets a ksuba. Rashi, on the second line under the Gemara text, Almona l'kohen gadol yesh lo ksuba mnei shehi psula uvlada posel al yedei nisuin, because she has a lot to lose in a marriage like that. She becomes rendered unfit to the kuna. Her child becomes unfit. He becomes a cholol. So as a result of that, lefikoch eino mar giloso. She is not going to be the one to, we'll say, entice the Kohen Gadol into marrying her, into maintaining that type of marriage. She has a lot to lose. Elohu margila umishadla linoselo. Rather, it's the Kohen Gadol that was trying to entice her, to attract her to marry him. So, who is, we'll say, the guilty party over here? He is. This Rashi, now we didn't read the Rashi before, but this is in contrast to the case of the Shnios, the rabbinically forbidden marriage that we mentioned above. There, she doesn't lose anything. She doesn't become rendered pusel, and her child is kosher. Therefore, she is the one that is going to try to entice him into marrying her. Therefore, the Shnia loses out. Here, the Kohen Gadol and the others that we mentioned are going to lose out. We continue in the Mishnah. Grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyo. A common Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, nor a woman that participated in chalitza. And also, Mamzeres Unasinu Yisrael, a illegitimate person, a person who was born from parents that should not have married one another on a Torah prohibited level to the tune of a Kores penalty. For example, a brother and sister marry, the child that's produced is a Mamzer. So a person who marries a Mamzeres or a Nesina are people that were prohibited to marry into the Jewish people, and some Jewish fellow married either a Mamzeres or a Nesina. On the fourth example, Bas Yisrael and Nosen Mamzer, who just reversed the gender. A Jewish girl married a male Nosen Mamzer. Yesh Lohem Ksuba. In all of these cases, there is Ksuba to be paid. Shortly, we're going to see Rav and Shmuel appearing, and we have on the side of the Gemara Nosei a topic heading, which reads, Machloikis Rav Shmuel bin Tana Hayotze Beget I Yesh Lo Ksuba. What happens if a minor is married, and instead of her walking out of the marriage, the husband divorces her? We're talking here about a rabbinic marriage, because we'll see later that one of the opinions describes the ein maisik tana klum. The ketana's marriage is considered a zero. So if it were a father married ketana, we wouldn't say that. So we're dealing with a ketana marriage. Rav Toni. Rav teaches as a Tanaic source, Ktana Yotze Beget Ein Lo Ksuba, V'kol Shekein Mema'enes. Now we saw in our Mishnah a Mema'enes where she walks out of the marriage, so she does not get a Ksuba. Rav teaches that's for sure not going to get, but even where the man, where the husband divorces her, she doesn't get a Ksuba because her marriage on a Torah level wasn't considered a marriage at all. She was never married on a Torah level. Therefore, when her being sent out, being divorced by the husband is not consequential. And therefore, as Rashi says, her marriage to him was viewed like a girl that was seduced, which means no real bond. So even where the husband initiates her divorce, Rav says she doesn't get a ksuba, all the more so where she initiates the departure by walking out on him. That's the Mema'enes case. Shmuel Toni, Shmuel teaches, Mema'enes ein lo ksuba, v'yotze v'get, yesh lo ksuba. He makes a distinction. Where she initiates the walk out, Mi'un means she refuses to continue with him, and she's still a minor. So there, no ksuba. However, where the husband divorces her, here Shmuel's at odds with Rav, she gets a ksuba. V'azda Shmuel l'tamei. Shmuel, in making a distinction between a mima'enes versus a ktana yotze beget, you can see Shmuel is consistent with things that he has said elsewhere. And we're going to make a long point now, which will take us to the top of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. So we say that Shmuel is litame, is consistent with his point of view that there is a distinction between Mima'enes versus Yotze Beget, when dealing with a Ktana. Diomar Shmuel, and you notice we've numbered them off, points 1 through 3 we see over here. Mima'enes ein lo ksuba, yotze beget yesh lo ksuba. Mima'enes lo poslo min ha'achin, v'lo poslo min ha'kuna, yotze beget poslo min ha'achin, u'poslo min ha'kuna. So here, the second point is a mima'enes who walks out of a marriage, eventually she could marry that fellow's brother. She can marry a Kohen. She's not considered a divorcee. However, if she is if she is dismissed by the husband through a get, if he sends her away through a get, so that renders her unfit to his brother. A man cannot marry a brother's wife, brother, even if she's divorced. And she cannot marry a Kohen. She's considered a grusha. Mima'enes eino tzricha lahamtin shloisha chadoshim. As opposed to the top of Kuf Aleph Amun Aleph, the first line, Yitzib get tzricha lahamtin shloisha chadoshim. What is this a reference to? Lahamtin means to wait three, lahamtin shloisha chadoshim, to wait 3 months. There's a rule that applies pretty much across the boards that women who were married to a man and the marriage ceases to continue for whatever reason. There are many, many reasons or many situations how a marriage comes to an end. But they have to wait 3 months before marrying a second man. We want to establish the principle behind that rule is to determine whether she was impregnated by the first husband. And in order to determine that, you have to wait 3 months when the signs of pregnancy become noticeable. So that rule applies even to a ktana. It's pointed out that a ktana there isn't a real chashash that she's pregnant, but nevertheless, all forms of divorce require this waiting of 3 months. Mema'enes, though, in contrast, there was never a marriage to begin with. When a girl walks out of a marriage based on the miun approach. Again, she was rabbinically married. She wasn't married off by her father, so she has that right to walk out. It, in effect, undoes whatever bond there was retroactively. She was never married to begin with. So there's no need for the waiting of 3 months. She can immediately marry another man because, as we said before, the rule was stated for a marriage that is undone, not this, where there was no marriage to begin with. The Gemara asks a question that takes in a Tanaic source. My komash malon tanina kulhu. What do I need Shmuel's teaching for? All of these points are taught in a Tanaic source. That means in a source earlier than Shmuel. So, and it says, Hamim enes be'ish. A girl who does miun, who mutter b'krovi, savi muteres b'krovov, v'lo poslim in akuna. He and she are married, are allowed to each other's relatives, and she does not become rendered unfit to the kahuna. I want to point out, there's a Tosfos at the top mentions the ksuba nami tanina. The issue of the ksuba difference is also a Tanaic source. Shmuel Toni Mema'enes. Shmuel himself taught that as a Tanaic source. So when the Gemara at Kuf Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, where Shmuel says Mema'enes Ein Lo Ksuba Yitzig Beget Yesh Lo Ksuba. What do I need Shmuel's teaching for when that's found in a Tanaic source that Shmuel himself presented? So all of the points are found in Tanaic sources. The Gemara answers, Tzricha lahamtin gimel chadoshim itzricha lei delo tnan. You see, Shmuel mentioned a number of points. The last point, the need for waiting 3 months between husbands, that was not taught in the above mentioned Tanaic sources. So it's really, Shmuel then taught things, a list of things. True, the first 2 points that he mentioned need not have been taught by Shmuel. They were already taught in Tanaic sources. But he nevertheless taught a complete list of items where you see a distinction. Specifically, the third point is that which we did not find in a previous Tanaic source. Lema ketanoi. can we say, it's a question, notice we have a long question marking, indicating that that Rav and Shmuel maybe is a machlokes tanoim. Just to review just to zero in on the main point regarding the Tana Yotze Beget, does she get a ksuba or not? According to Rav, no. According to Shmuel, yes. So does this parallel a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua that you see in the upcoming Tanaic source? You can see we've squiggle underlined their names. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Ein Maisek Tana Klum. The actions of a Ktana, specifically the marriage of a Ktana, is nothing. V'ein baila zakai b'siyasa, if her husband, the man that she married, again, rabbinically, we're not talking about her father marrying her off. She was married rabbinically. The husband is not entitled to keep items she finds, v'lo b'maisi yodea. Any income she produces does not go to the husband. If she vows, that husband doesn't undo the vows. V'eino yorsha, when she dies, the husband does not inherit her. V'eino mitamela, and if he happens to be a Kohen, he is not allowed to defile himself, in contrast to a regular Kohen marriage, where the wife, where it's a regular Eishes Ish of a Kohen, he is to defile himself. Not so here. Klolo shel davar. The rule we see from all of this is Eino kish delechol davar. She's not his wife regarding anything. Elo shetzricha miyun. All that we expect is that if they split up, so she has to indicate I do not want to continue with this man. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Maisa Ktana Klum. And then everything we said now is reversed with regard to Rabbi Yoshua. The marriage of a Ktana is of significance. Ubaila zakai b'metziyasa, uva maisiyadeo, uva forsnidereo, viyorsha, umetamela. This is very significant, especially this last point, that if he's a Kohen, he will be allowed to defile himself to her. That would indicate that it's a very significant bond. Klolo shel davar, harehi ki ishto l'chol davar. The rule that comes forth from Rabbi Yeshua is that she's considered his wife regarding all matters. Elo shi yotze b'miyun. The only exception is that she can leave the marriage without a formal divorce document. She walks out through miyun, through her expression of refusal to continue with him. So that having been said, Leimo Rav Yomak Rabbi Elazar, Rav said that Tana Yotze Beget, she doesn't add a ksuba, sounds very much like Rabbi Elazar. And Shmuel, that says she's entitled to a ksuba, Domar Ki Rabbi Yeshua. And he would seem to reflect the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that it's a regular marriage. But in general, when learning through Gemaras, you find that it's not the best situation for an Amora to line up with only one Tana and not with all Tanoim. So that's why this is brought forth as a question. Should we say that Rav and Shmuel is essentially a Machlokas Tanoim and their opinions are not, each one respectively is not unanimously accepted by the Tanoim? So the Gemara responds, Aliba de Rabbi Elazar Kule Alma Lo Pligi. Within the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Shmuel himself never attempted to say what he said within Rabbi Elazar. Shmuel acknowledges that Rabbi Elazar views the Ktana marriage as a zero. And of course, when I said Ktana Yotze Beget gets a ksuba, I never intended my words to be a commentary within Rabbi Elazar. I made my point only within the Tana Rabbi Yeshua. So it's not as if Shmuel has an opinion that isn't accepted unanimously. He never attempted to say what he did according to all Tanoim. He was making a commentary within Rabbi Yeshua. So the Gemara explains, Ki pligi alib Rabbi Yeshua. The Machlokis Rav and Shmuel is within the Tana Rabbi Yeshua. Shmuel k'Rabbi Yeshua. You saw how seriously Rabbi Yeshua treated the ketana marriage. So of course, if the husband divorces her, he must pay her a ksuba. What about Rav? The Rav, who said she doesn't get a ksuba. But Rabbi Yeshua views her marriage as very serious. He said, Ad kan lo kom Rabbi Yeshua, hosam elo mi dida ledidei. Rabbi Yeshua tells you that the marriage is significant. That's only with respect to things that she brings to him, that she provides him with. For example, her lost items she finds go to the husband. Work, income that she produces goes to the husband. Things that from her to him, yes, that's viewed as a married couple. With regard to those things, they're viewed as married. Avol mididei ledida. But when it comes to things that he must provide to her, that is not so. If we look at Rashi, we find a number of lines up from him, the narrow lines. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yeshua de maisel kayomin, that her action, her marriage is something of lasting value, of seriousness, of import. Elo medidol ledidei kagon yerushasa maisyadel mitsiyasa, like her inheriting her from her when she dies, income she produces or things she finds, they should go to the husband. Kihechi de lo limnu milisa isa. We want to encourage men to marry girls, minors that their father isn't around. The Chachamim Gozer Shetinah say the Chachamim issued this ability for them to get married. Kedeshi lo yinagubo hefker, because otherwise a minor girl that doesn't have a father to oversee her, people might very well take advantage of her. So we want to have her under guard. We want her in a marriage situation, so the husband will take care of her and not allow people to take advantage of her. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.